Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend to the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of man was dead and has come to life again, he was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We've heard this parable time and time again. It's probably one of the most famous ones that Jesus gives us during his public ministry. And as I was reading through it for who knows the umpteenth time, there was a theme that popped into my head that I hadn't really thought about before. And it's the theme of worthiness or unworthiness. And so I wanted to share that with you today. So when we think of someone being worthy, we look at the actions they've done and we say, well, that is worthy, that person's worthy of my respect, or they're worthy of whatever rewards there was. And conversely, if we look to see what someone has done, we consider them unworthy unworthy of any kind of reward, unworthy of any respect. But it all has to do with judging the behaviors of someone. And so let's see how this unfolds in today's parable. So we first have the young son. So he first off goes to his father and commits a sin, at least in that society's eyes, a society that values honor above all. And of course, family honor is the most important thing. And he asks his father to give him his share of the inheritance now. But the father goes ahead and accedes to his request, gives that to him, and then he runs off and squanders that inheritance. Lives a life of total selfishness, trying to use it only to satisfy himself. And now he has squandered that whole inheritance, and now he finds himself in a foreign country, hungry. So hungry that he's even tempted to try to eat the food that is given to the swines that he has been trying to watch over for someone else. And he finally decides, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father. But I know because of what I've done, I am unworthy to be his son. Because of what I've done, the best I can hope for is he will hire me as one of his hirelings, as one of his servants. At least then I can eat. And so that's exactly what he does. He goes back to his father with the intention of asking just to be considered a paid servant. Then we have the oldest son. Now, the oldest son has been loyal. He has apparently always upheld the family honor. He has never done something as grievous as asking for his part of the inheritance. He has continued to be there supporting the family, supporting his father. But he looks to his brother, a brother who has now been welcomed back, a brother who is now being celebrated, and he's angry. My brother is not worthy of any of this. He has caused great dishonor on this family. He has sinned against you, Father. We shouldn't even acknowledge his existence. And yet, here you are giving him a great party. He is not worthy of such recognition. But now we look to the Father. We look to the Father. What is his reaction? Well, he obviously loves both of his sons. Even when the youngest son comes to him and asks for such a shameful thing as his inheritance while the father is still alive, he goes ahead and gives it to him. And then the son returns. The father doesn't just stand there waiting for the son to come to him, begging and crawling. The father doesn't send one of his other servants out to meet the son and bring him to him. He runs to his son. He grasps him in his arms. He welcomes him back to the family. The father is so overjoyed that his family is now whole again. Both of his sons now are back. This is a cause of celebration. The father is not looking at the young son and judging whether or not he is worthy to be welcomed back. He welcomes him back because he loves him. And his family is now complete with that younger son. No matter what he had done before, it's more complete with him back in their lives. And then, of course, the older son comes to him, telling him how unworthy this younger son is. And even saying, you know, I've been loyal to you. I have done everything you asked. I have never brought shame to you. Why in the world would you celebrate his return? And the father looks at his older son and says, I love you. Everything I have is yours. But this is a day to celebrate, because our family has now been reconciled. We have been brought together. The son that I loved that ran away is now returned. He has come back to life. This is why we celebrate. And so there's one thing I would say about those two sons. They're both correct. Neither of them are worthy of the Father's love. Neither of them are worthy of the Father's mercy and forgiveness. They are unworthy. We are all unworthy. You know, God didn't look down on earth and says, you know what? The human race finally is getting their act together. They're now worthy for me to send my son to become one of them. We were steeped in sin. We had turned our back on our Creator. We had decided that we know what is best for us. We don't need God. We had wandered away from Him. And that's when He sent His Son. Not because we are worthy, but because we are loved. And through our baptism, we were brought together in the community, in communion with one another, in God's family. When one of us sins, turns our back on God, even if it's the gravest of sin, and finally decides to ask for His forgiveness, there is joy in heaven if just one sinner returns. Because God's family is now more complete, more whole. The disunity that our sin has caused has been wiped away. My dear friends, it is out of love that God offers us forgiveness of sins, because we are so precious in His eyes. And Jesus, knowing that we were going to continue to fall, continue to fail, continue to sin, we needed a very personal assurance that we are forgiven, and so we have one of the sacraments of the church that offers just that, the sacrament of reconciliation, reconciling us to God as well as to His body of Christ, the church, reconciling us to God's family. We have an opportunity this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. here in our church to celebrate a Lenten penance service. Myself and three of my brother priests will be here to be instruments that Jesus will use to give His gift of mercy to those people that approach Him with sorrow in their hearts and confess their sins. My dear friends, the message that we are to take from the parable of the prodigal son is not how far we fall, but how much we are cherished by God, how much we are loved by God, and how much He will go to any extent possible to bring us back to Him. But He requires us to make that first step. We have to approach Him with sorrow in our hearts. We have to acknowledge that we have sinned, that it is our sin that has caused the rupture in His family, that it is our sin that has caused us to turn our back on His love. And when we do so, the response is, I absolve you of your sins. You are forgiven. Welcome back into the body of Christ. Welcome back into my family. And so I would encourage you to take advantage either of the penance service this Wednesday or other opportunities during the Lenten season to celebrate that sacrament. As I mentioned at the beginning, Lent is quickly wrapping up. We only have 2 weeks until we begin Holy Week. And so I encourage you to take advantage of that. We will receive Christ's gift of mercy and forgiveness of sins, not because we are worthy, but because we are loved.